Do you ever feel like you are fighting for financial knowledge? Well, now you can get it at no cost or obligation. You can get a copy of our hot off the press 401k survival guide or take advantage of a complimentary consultation valued at over $999. Call Mark Giles and the team at EFS Group, 712-560-0360. That's 712-560-0360. This episode of Mark on Money is brought to you by EFS Group for all your retirement needs. Information provided is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. Information has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. Neither Mark Giles or his guests are liable for the usage of information discussed. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action.
Most retirees agree that running out of money is one of the biggest fears that they face. On today's show, we'll highlight some key signs that you may run out of money and offer potential solutions to avoid the worst.
And now, live from the heart of Sioux City, Mark on Money with your host, Mark Giles.
The key is having a plan in place, knowing what you're going to do.
A place where your retirement questions are answered.
You could be putting tens of thousands in jeopardy.
You'll get the latest news on 401ks and retirement planning.
It can make a profound difference with what you can and can't afford in retirement.
If you've got questions on how to properly structure your assets and build retirement income, you're in the right place. Welcome in to Mark on Money.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. This is Mark on Money with Mark Giles. I'm consumer advocate Steve Siddall. Mark is a certified financial planner. EFS Wealth Management is, of course, where you find him. And he's been doing this for better than 30 years, helping folks get to and through retirement. Hey, Mark, what's going on today?
Not too much. We're going to talk about one of the key things that we do with people, and that is help them plan to make sure that they have enough money to last throughout retirement. And also, how do you avoid running out of money in retirement?
Well, those are two things that we've really, really strived for. But I mean, it's, you know, it happens sometimes where people may think that, you know, they're going to be fine. They're only going to live this long. And then suddenly they find themselves living another 15 years. I mean, that could be a problem. But you take that into account. You figure that out for us.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to plan for different contingencies in a retirement. You know, you just don't know. What you can plan for, what I tell people is you can plan for the certainty of uncertainty. And, you know, it's good to have a guide that has walked that path many times. Mm-hmm. And that's what I tell people we do. We've walked that path many times. We've seen just about everything that there is to see. There's always something that comes back and surprises me. I said, well, I haven't seen that yet in 30 years. That's a little bit surprising. But for the most part, every uncertainty, every planning aspect, every situation, we've probably seen it, dealt with it, planned for it. So it's kind of like the farmer's commercial, you know, that you see on TV.
Right. We've had that. Those are good.
Right.
Too. Well, I mean, one of the things that has to come up is a long-term care plan. And that's got to be one of the more difficult things to plan around.
It is. You know, it's gotten a little bit better. You know, I wish I was an actuary working in the insurance industry, knowing what I know and seeing what really needs to be done. Maybe it's unable to be able to plan this way. But really, when you look at long-term care planning, and people, what I see, don't plan very well for it, mainly because they're purchasing that long-term care insurance from somebody who earns a commission from selling that particular product to an individual. So everybody needs it. And that's not always true. And not everybody needs a lot of it. You know, it has to fit into the context of your situation. And that's the key with everything. You know, insurance, if you remember what the definition of insurance is, it's to avoid catastrophe. You know, it's not designed, you know, it's one of the reasons why you can't insure 100% of your income with disability insurance, because it encourages everybody to become disabled because you'd make more money not working.
Sure.
And so insurance is really to protect against, you know, a catastrophe. And so a catastrophe in insurance is your house burning to the ground, you know? So that's why you have a deductible on your home, you know, your car getting totaled out. You know, you don't file a claim for every little tiny thing that happens. That's why there's a deductible. And the same thing should be how you think of long-term care insurance as well. You have to think of it as this, you know, what happens if I'm in a long-term care facility for a decade? How do I protect against that? Not if I'm, you know, in a long-term care facility or assisted living facility or need a little bit of help, you know, for a couple years. You know, for most people, a couple years is not going to cause a catastrophic financial event. You know, you're not going to deplete all of your assets if that happens for, you know, a year or 2 years. But if you're having to pay $70,000 or $80,000 a year for, you know, long-term care costs out of pocket, and you have to do it for a decade, that's a lot of money.
You're looking at
$1 million out of pocket.
Oof.
And so that's what you have to plan for, is the long term. You know, so you don't need something that's going to cover you for, you know, you don't need a 0-day elimination period for long-term care. You know, you want to pick an elimination period or a waiting period where the insurance doesn't kick in for a period of time, because it's going to cost less money. And then you have to really look at, it's not designed, you know, to ensure we protect all of the money, you know, because remember, you're not going to be spending some money on different things. And so you're going to be able to afford to pay for some of your costs out of pocket, just like you would be if you're continuing to live the same way you live now. So you have to take that into, you know, account. So if, you know, the long-term care facility today costs, let's say, $80,000 a year, let's say, for, you know, intensive care or 24-hour care, you know, maybe you should look at maybe protecting $50,000 of that, you know, or half of that, or three-quarters of it. But you don't need to cover 100% of it, because you might not ever need it.
There are some pretty innovative ways that you can do that as well. I mean, obviously, if you have enough money, you can certainly self-fund things. But there are other creative ways to do it as well. To, like you said, I like that concept of, you know, let's cover half of that, and then if something happens, we can adjust.
Right, and options that you have out there in today's marketplace, in terms of what insurance coverages are out there, there's really two main, and then one kind of ancillary type of vehicle that gets it done. You have your traditional long-term care policy, which covers, you know, some coverage for maybe home health care, assisted living, and long-term care. Which just simply, you pay premium, you know, if you file a claim, just like health insurance, it's going to pay. If you don't file a claim and you never use it, you know, those premiums are paid and that's it. You know, or you have another option, which is called a hybrid life insurance policy, where you may pay annual premiums, or you may put a lump sum of money into the policy of, say, a $50,000 or $100,000 single premium that has long-term care coverage associated with it. Those types of policies, if you don't use the long-term care coverage, you still have a death benefit, and a lot of times you get your money back, or maybe even a little bit more than that associated with a death benefit. And then you have what's called the ancillary products. You may have annuities that have some type of long-term care rider associated with them, in concert with maybe an income benefit, that if you are confined to a facility or you need long-term care, the income you're receiving increases off of one of those particular products.
Sure. Well, and again, but those are the kinds of things that you can help us understand. And one of the other problems, or one of the other things that could really cause a problem in terms of running out of money, is longevity risk. We don't think we're going to live as long. I mean, if you look at my background, I would think, well, I'm going to be dead soon because everybody in my family's gone. But that's not the case, because it was all other circumstances.
Right. You know, there's a lot of preventative health care today, and, you know, we're living better. We understand a lot more than we did, you know, 30 years ago in terms of, you know, environmental exposure to things have been cut down that maybe killed you before. And so, yeah, your retirement could easily be more expensive than what you thought. If you live a lot longer than what you would expect yourself to, based upon, you know, looking at your family in the past, like you said, Steve.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. How is that a conversation that you have? I mean, would you talk about, you know, essentially shelf life of people? And how do you judge that? How do you anticipate
that? We read palms, Steve, so we can come in.
Is that what you do? I love it. I love it.
I would wish it was that simple. But no, it's really about the math. You know, if you die prematurely, retirement planning is really simple. But if you live a long time, that's where the risks come in. And and just looking at the statistics, about 1 in 4 65-year-olds today will live to be age 90. And if you only plan to live on your money for 20 years and you live 30 years, well, how are you going to pay for that additional 10 years? That's what you really
have to plan
for.
That's a math problem.
Yep. And the flip side of that is the fear of running out of money. People don't spend what they could spend early on in retirement. And so I see a lot of people that literally accumulate huge nest eggs just simply because of the fact that they were afraid of running out of money, which is, in some people's cases, it doesn't make any difference how much money they have. They still have the same fear. So you would think that somebody with $2, $3 million of retirement assets wouldn't be afraid of running out of money. Well, I can tell you that those individuals have the exact same fears, the exact same feelings as somebody that has a tenth of as much money as what they have. You know, maybe they spend a lot more money than somebody that has less money, but it's all relative. You know, it doesn't make any difference. People still have the same fears. The same things apply to those individuals. You know, so it's really about 75% of people. That's what they feel.
Sure.
You know, no matter if they have a few $100,000 or a few $1 million, they're still worried about running out of money.
So before we run out of time, let's talk about inflation, because that has been sort of a non-factor for a lot of folks, but it really needs to be considered.
Well, yeah, and you know, one of the key things that I talk about inflation is, you know, if I used to teach a class way back early on in my career. Well, not really early on. I mean, I really taught the class for probably 15 years, maybe a little bit longer than that. But it was a 9-hour course that I taught over a period of 3 to 4 weeks, over, you know, a month period of time. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions I'd always ask is, how many people came here to this class in a car that you paid more for than the first home you bought? And, you know, I knew what the answer was going to be. Everybody over the age of probably 60 had driven here in a car than they paid more for than their first home they bought. And maybe they bought their first home 35 years ago.
Sure.
You know, that's kind of what I was looking for. And so if you think about it, new homes today are right around $260,000, $280,000 for a, you know, a typical three-bedroom ranch home, at least here in the Midwest.
Yeah.
You know, so we're talking average. We're not talking California or, you know, New York or anything crazy like that. But what happens is inflation eats away or eats away at your purchasing power, inflates things. And so if you can imagine that 30 years from now, you're going to be buying a new car for $250,000.
God, and I hate to think about
gonna,
that.
You know, it's just going to be, you know, it's going to be like a Toyota, you know, mid-size crossover is going to cost $250,000. And it is going to happen. That is what inflation does.
Okay. Well, again, these are all great things, folks. If we piqued your interest, I would say let's get on the phone. Give Mark a call. It's 712-560-0360. He'd be happy to sit down with you, go over all this. No cost, no obligation. Right, Mark?
Absolutely. Yeah, 560-0360. And one of the things that you can do is you can go to our website at EFS, the number 4, the letter U, and, you know, the very first thing you'll see is, do I have enough money to retire? Click on that, and it takes you to a whole educational series. It shows you how to plan, shows you how to distribute money, shows you how to come up with a great strategy that will help you determine how much you can spend and how long it will last for. We're going to talk a little bit about that when we come back. But if you want to visit and you want somebody to sit by you, walk that path with you, help you create a plan to plan for the certainty of uncertainty, we're the people that can help you do that. There's no cost or obligation to visit with us. 712-560-0360 is our phone number. We're ready to take your call anytime.
Make that call today, folks, 712-560-0360.
So when we come back, we're going to continue this discussion and talk more about how to plan for the certainty, uncertainty, and living a long time in retirement.
How's the market doing?
It's fine.
How's the market doing now?
The same as it was 5 seconds ago.
Stop worrying about market volatility. A good retirement plan will keep you from panicking when and if there's ever a panic, even during a correction or a mild recession. Get that solid retirement plan with lifetime income and protection from pitfalls. Get in touch with Mark on Money's Mark Giel, 712-560-0360, 712-560-0360.
We're back on Mark on Money is the show. Mark Giels is here. Mark is a certified financial planner, 30 plus years in the business. Having a great conversation today, Mark. And, you know, we're talking about, you say it well, the certainty of uncertainty. And boy, if anything describes retirement, it's that. You've got to be ready for anything. And the good news is, with your 30 plus years in the business, you've got some great insight and can really sort of walk folks through this and give them the confidence that they need to, you know, have that successful retirement.
Right. And if you go to our website, EFS, the number four, the letter U.com, and you click on the statement, so it's a, you know, you click on it, it says, do I have enough money for retirement? And then right underneath it, it says, now is the time to plan for your 30-year vacation.
Yeah.
And here's the fact, Steve. Unfortunately, more people spend time planning for their vacations than they do for their retirement.
Oh, that's
and
very
vacations
true.
Are usually 1 to 2 weeks. We're talking about a 30-year vacation here. You know, think about planning for your retirement the same way as what you would plan for a vacation. I mean, you want to figure out where you want to do what, you know, where you want to go, what you want to do. You're going to compare costs. You know, timing is important. You know, is it, you know, winter vacation, summer vacation? You know, you plan for contingencies. You can buy travel insurance. You plan for weather, you know, issues. And, you know, retirement's kind of the same thing. You know, all those things, you know, can come up. You know, travel interruption insurance. Well, retirement interruption insurance. What are we talking about here? Well, we're talking about Medicare supplements, you know, long-term care insurance we talked about, you know, planning for, you know, those uncertain costs that really pop up. How do you, you know, replace, you know, your furnace, you know, maybe get water in the basement, you know, tree falls on your house, you know, all those different things, you know, you have a, you know, you're diagnosed with cancer, Parkinson's, you know, you break a leg, whatever, you know, all those things are, you know, very synonymous to planning for, you know, a extended vacation.
Right. And again, it's I love the comparison, and I know people sort of take it lightly, but what you were just talking about, it makes sense. Yeah, I mean, you know, travel insurance, travel interruption insurance, well, yeah, it's called, you got to plan for long-term care, you got to plan for health care. I mean, all of these things are part of the overall picture.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, we don't have really, everybody's situation is different. I mean, literally, we could have a show every day and talk about 2 hours every day in every situation, and we could continue on for days and days and days and weeks and months and never run out of different scenarios, because everybody's scenario is different. Everybody's you know, everybody's vacation is different.
Sure.
What do they want to do? You know, how much do they want to spend? Where do they want to go? You know, what are their past experiences been? And you know, the important thing is that you have a plan. It is a written plan that you understand. You can reiterate what that plan is, and it's adaptable. You know, it's adaptable to the changes that might happen. It's adaptable to uncertainties. And, you know, one of the things that I always share with people is making sure that your assets coincide with the purpose for what they are for. So if you have money in a 401k, you have money in IRAs, you have annuities, or you have, you know, money in, you know, stocks or bonds, mutual funds, whatever the money's there, what's the purpose of it? Is it to fund retirement next year? Is it to fund retirement 10 years from now? Is it to generate income? What is it? What's the purpose of it? That is what the purpose of a retirement plan is. It helps you define that purpose of those funds so that you can plan with certainty in most aspects. There's always uncertainty that's going to come up. But the first thing you should be able to do is say, okay, if X, Y, and Z happens, here's the purpose of the money, here's where it's going to be placed, and here's how it's going to be used. So you should be able to answer those three questions for every single dollar that you have. If you can't answer those questions for the dollars that you have, then you don't have a very well thought out plan. Because every dollar should have a purpose.
And I completely agree. And you, one of the keys here, too, is that it's a written plan. I mean, there's a document. You can look at it. You can touch and feel it. And that really helps keep people on track just going forward.
Right, because you can go back and you can say, okay, here's what we planned, you know, 5 years ago, or here's what we planned 10 years ago. Where are we at today based upon where we thought we were going to be? Hopefully you're exactly right on track, but normally you're not. But hopefully you're going to be close. And that's the key, is that you are close to where you thought you were going to be, and your plan is working. You know, one thought that I had come up with that I want to talk about a little bit, because it's personal, because I experience it a lot, because we work with primarily older people. You know, our average client is about 68 years old, with about 70%, 80% of the people that we do work with already retired. And, you know, if the average is 68, we've got a lot of people that have been in retirement for a long time, Steve.
Right.
And one of the things that's personal to me is a conversation I had with my brother a couple, 2-3 years ago. And so I just want to quickly share this, because it has to do with long-term care insurance. And so it's about making sure that that coverage is the correct coverage. We talked a little bit about the differences. And he came to me and says, you know, Mark, I remember you telling me that, you know, I needed to have some type of long-term care insurance by a certain age, because it gets to be quite a bit more expensive the older you get. And so that age is usually between 55 and 60 is the optimal age, really, to start looking at it. And even earlier than that, I got my long-term care insurance when I was in my 40s, because I knew that costs go up, healthcare issues develop, and I wanted to make sure I had that insurance in place. But his question was, well, Mark, you know, I've got enough money, I can self-insure. I don't need to have long-term care insurance. And I said, well, here's the reason why you do, whether you have extremely, if you're extremely wealthy, you know, I still think that there's a purpose, because here's what happens. If you are, or one of the two of you, him or his wife gets sick, gets ill, the spouse that's sitting there taking care of that individual looks at it as their responsibility, which is great, but they also look at the cost. And the cost is massive when you look at having to write out a check every month, you know, for $7,000 or $8,000 to a long-term care facility, versus being able to keep that person at home and do it. If there's insurance in place, a lot of times that decision is so much easier. So between husband and wife, but the next easy decision or hard decision is when there's only one parent left, and now it's the kids. And here's the conversations I hear a lot. Oh, geez, I don't know. You know, mom's doing really good at home. Yeah, she's a little bit forgetful, but there's neighbors around that can watch her. You know, she's taking care of herself. And you know, did you see what the cost of that care facility is if she goes into it? Now they're thinking about, this isn't mom's money anymore. This is our money. And kids, unfortunately, I've seen it, are very reluctant, because they know if mom goes into that, they usually have an idea of how much assets there are there, and they look at those assets as their assets. If there is insurance in place, you know what the discussion is? Well, they were wise, they have insurance there, there's a purpose for it. That decision is like, no, she's way better off being in that home. There's activities there, she's going to, you know, live longer, she's going to be happier, and besides, the insurance company is going to pay for it.
Right.
Done. So
peace of mind.
Yep. And so I've seen that a lot. So that's one of the, it's really an emotional thing. It's not like buying car insurance or homeowners insurance. There's a lot more involved with it. So I just want to throw that out there because I wanted to share a little bit of personal experience there.
No, I mean, that's great insight. And again, food for thought, certainly. And so you're talking about kids. Sometimes kids want money before we go. What do we do? How do we deal with that? Because that can impact retirement. And I'm sure you've seen that.
You mean the prodigal son wants his inheritance now?
Yeah. I'm guessing you've probably seen that a time or two.
Here's what I tell people. I definitely encourage it if they have lots of money, because there is absolutely no sensical reason to leave a large inheritance to kids. The last thing you want to see is children inherit $1 million each, and mom and dad didn't need that money at all, but the kids could have used it, for their children, to do things differently, and mom and dad just decided to hang on to that money, probably because they were afraid they were going to run out of money and didn't have a very good plan.
Yeah.
Definitely if there is going to be that situation where you're leaving millions of dollars or even hundreds of thousands of dollars of money and you don't need it, come up with a plan of how to give that money to your kids. A perfect example is even putting money into 529 plans for grandchildren. We do that a lot. And one of the reasons why we do it is, again, it's an emotional thing that I tell grandparents, even if you don't put a lot of money into a 529 for your grandkids, here's one thing that it will definitely do. It gives you a reason to talk to your grandkids when they are 16, 17, they're teenagers. Grandpa and grandma really is not important at that point anymore. They've got other things that they're busy with. They're not six or seven anymore. You're not on a pedestal. But now you have money that they have, and all college kids are broke.
That's
true. So, even a few hundred dollars in a college fund is going to be able to have a conversation with grandpa and grandma about, okay, do you need money for books? We've got this money that we set aside for you. We want to make sure that it's able to be used, well. And so it's a way for them just to be able to talk.
The thing is it all starts with a discussion, a conversation about how you want to get to retirement, what you want to be in retirement. And Mark is a great place to start.
Yeah, 712-560-0360. We've got four advisors in our office. We've been here for, over 30-plus years in Siouxland, have counseled thousands of people over that period of time, have seen all of those different situations that we talked about. And so everybody's situation is different. We visit with individuals to see if we can have a significant impact on their retirement, on their planning, personal decisions, financial decisions, making sure that those decisions are wise. That's what we do. And if you would like to have that discussion, there's no cost or obligation. 712-560-0360. Somebody in our office, either myself or somebody else, will be able to have a conversation with you. So give us a call.
That sounds fantastic. 712-560-0360. Again, that's the number. Mark, it's always a pleasure to just spend this time and talk about things that are so important to pretty much everybody.
Yeah, I appreciate it too. And I'm glad everybody's listening this morning. And spring is on its way. I think we see the light at the end of the tunnel. A year ago, things were looking pretty dark, pretty gloomy, pretty uncertain. And I think we do have a little bit more clarity, a little bit more certainty. And I think people are feeling good.
Lots of
people have lots of money to spend because we haven't spent anything in the last year.
Very good. And on that thought, we're going to say thanks for listening, everybody. We really appreciate it. And we're going to be back again next week with new topics, new questions, and all that and more right here with Mark on Money and Mark Giels.
Coach P Radio.
Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Securities America Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. EFS Group and the Securities America companies are unaffiliated. Any comments regarding safe and secure investments and guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products. They do not refer in any way to securities or investment advisory products. Fixed insurance and annuity product guarantees are subject to the claims paying ability of the issuing company.